about parables and their meanings. Brother Lee.
So, brethren, here we are. And I was assigned a task of giving a short discourse on parables and their meanings. Thinking along that line, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he came out of the house, there was a great crowd of peoples, multitude. So he retreated in a boat, I believe, and he taught them parables. And then we may ask, why did he teach them parables? And did the peoples that was with him, his closest associates, the 12 apostles, did they understand them? We witness today, we usually don't talk too much in parables to those who are outside. We might use some symbols, as Brother Balco expressed. We might use some types. But usually when you want to get a point across, we usually tell them about the kingdom. And this is what Jesus was doing. He was telling the peoples about the kingdom of heaven. Our word parable comes from the Greek parable, which means a placing beside and thus a comparison or illustration. It is most commonly used in the New Testament is for illustrative stories that Jesus drew from nature and human life. The Synoptic Gospel contains about 33 of these stories. John Gospel, we don't believe that there are any in his Gospel. However, he did illustrate stories and figure of speech and some types in the Gospel of John. You know, parable also illustrate moral and spiritual truth. Matthew 5:29-30. And these moral spiritual truth usually sets the stage for one that would be thinking that he would want to enter into this kingdom that our Lord was talking about. Jesus taught the peoples according to the common habits of most peoples at that time, because most of them were farmers, merchants, fishermen. Most of them had very little understanding of reading. But most of them, perhaps all of them, understood the natural things that you would talk about, the trees, the water, etc. And if they understood the natural things, when it would come time for a spiritual thing, they would understand it a little better. 1 Corinthians 2:14. All these things spoke Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Matthew 13:34-35. Jesus spoke numerous parables concerning his coming kingdom. These different parables, pictures, represents the same subject from different viewpoints as we would view a building from different viewpoints that we want to design or build. They all mean it's the same building. Our Lord's parable more or less closely identified with the kingdom thought. The majority of them open with such expression as, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto, etc. If we keep in memory that it is a kingdom of priests that is to be established, otherwise called a royal priesthood. All will be plain. Our Lord Jesus Christ, after he had paid of a ransom price, after he died, the just for the unjust, as our sacrificing high priest, extended up on high to be king. In the present life, these, in due time, he will glorify himself, giving us, the little flock, an opportunity to share in his millennial kingdom. Thus, he promised to him that overcome, he will grant to sit with him in his kingdom. Revelation 3:21. We will look at several parables in Matthew chapter 13, since these are all kingdom parables. And what we will try to do is to compare the parables with our understanding why Jesus spoke parables and what do they mean to us as footstep followers of Jesus, the little flock. And we will start by reading from Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 through 8. And he spake to them many things in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And others fell upon the rocky places, where they had not much earth, and straightway they sprung up, because they had no depthness of earth. And when the sun was risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell upon thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And others fell upon the good ground and yield fruit, some 130. I don't know about most of us, but some of us have experienced similar. We've witnessed the people. They've come to your convention. They'll come to your ecclesia, and they seem so eager to go forth. But when things become hard, they decided not to continue with you anymore. We had a very interesting occasion in our ecclesia once. The sister came through one of our brethren, and they was really struck about what they was hearing. Matter of fact, we had two. Another young man came. And he says, also, you guys really studied the Bible. You know the truth. And he was shocked. He says, I want more. So he came back again. And the sister also came more than once. But both of them, when they really got to the point where they had to yield up something, they decided, no, they didn't want to meet with us anymore. They went back to where they came from. So a lot of times, these parables point directly to what is taking place in the minds and heart of men. But Jesus knew that those whom he was speaking to, if they wanted to really enter his kingdom, they had to give up all they had and take up their cross and come and follow him. The parable of the soil and the soil. in Matthew 13:3-8, what we just read, our Lord taught a wonderful lesson respecting the method used by God in selecting of the little flock, which he invites to be members with Christ Jesus in the association of the millennial kingdom. The kingdom message and invitation is the seed in this parable, Matthew 13:3. Under favorable condition, germinates and brings forth the required fruitage of character development. Our Lord was the great sower of the good seed of the kingdom. After him came the apostle, which laid the foundation of our hope, Revelation 21:14 and 1 Corinthians 3:10-11. After Pentecost, our Lord used all true believers who are truly consecrated to sow the seed. That means we, brethren, as we go throughout the world, witnessing to the world, sowing the good seed, those that have a ear to hear, would hear and bring forth fruitage, some 100, some 60, and some 30. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 2 Corinthians 3:10. This parable shows that the fault with some of the hearers lies in the soil, in the mind of men. If our hearts was right, the message or seed would bring forth much fruit. When you sow a seed in the ground, some of us are gardeners. I was talking to Sister Charlotte this morning, who lives, I believe, on a farm or a ranch. You know, when you know your soil and you sow a seed within that soil, you expect the seed to germinate and produce the required fruit. And I think this will be the end result of giving to the point where all the families of the earth will be blessed. Everyone that ever lived will have a great opportunity to be a part of Christ's kingdom. Why does presenting the truth message produce so many various results? Our Lord gives the correct meaning to this parable. If we receive the word with meekness, it will save our souls. James 1:21. We as ministers of the word, which was entrusted to the apostles, we can only water. It is God who gives the increase. 1 Corinthians 3:16. The true seed is Jesus Christ. Revelation 16:20. We all know that. We know that our Lord is that true seed. We know that when God promised Abraham, in thy seed, all of the families of the earth will be blessed. And we've seen the blessing today in the hearts and mind of those that have been called from darkness into the marvelous light of our Lord Jesus Christ. The parable of the tares. We all know these parables. But the reason I'm using this method to refresh our minds and see how we can link those parables with our walk today. Here's another kingdom parable and a great prophecy by our Lord Jesus Christ. which showed our Lord foreknew the history of the gospel age. We know our Lord and his holy apostles sowed nothing but good seeds. But after the apostles had fallen asleep in death, the adversary, Satan, oversown the wheat field with tear. And you may say, how could he do that? Corrupting influence or error has been allowed to test the patience of true loving saints. The parable of the wheat and tares had only described this trend towards a condition that really shows the error that if you permit any impurities to permeate into something that is good, it will cause error. Even as we know, a little leaven will leaven the whole lot. But it rewards the longing hearts of God's people with the prospect of the joy of the heart of the harvest work. Our Lord gives this parable to illustrate how error would be brought into the church by Satan, and that the children produced by the error would in many respects resemble or counterfeit those produced by the truth. It was impossible for the adversary to corrupt the good seed. Although he tried, he allowed the interference with the sowing of it, but he was permitted to oversow it in the field, and if possible, to choke the wheat in some way to deceive the world respecting the true character of the wheat, which is the children of the kingdom. And this adversary that it has been already shown that he is busy, never seems to sleep. He only can get a hold of us if we go to sleep. If we do not stay alert, if we do not watch, we have to watch daily, because the adversary is a roaring lion, busy going around seeing whom he can devour. This parable shows us that the Lord's intention on having a bride from the Gentile nation, including some believing Jews who had the first opportunity. Apostle Paul declared, saying to the Jews, it was necessary that the gospel should be preached to you first. But seeing you reject it, lo, we turn to the Gentile. Acts 13:46. As given to us to know the truth, we understand the field is the entire world of mankind. One here, one there, from all of the nations where the seed is sown. The gospel of the kingdom demonstrates the message which should be preached to the world today. Most of the things that are being taught by the nominal system is not in accord with what we, the little flock, would teach. And we can see this anytime we witness to, no matter who they are, whether they are great ministers in the normal system or whether they're just a lay person. They always say, almost like, I never heard of that before. and it's read in the Bible. It's been there. But their ministers, and the one that blinded their eyes, which is Satan, prohibit them from seeing these wonderful truths that we are so blessed that our eyes are open. The true message is not being taught. But what should we do today pertaining to this message? You know, we're in the final stage of the harvest area or period. And as we go forth, we see today that history is being made right before our eyes. We see the peoples with their hand outstretched, looking for a leader from among mankind. They would ask, are you going to vote? They ask me, are you going to vote for the new president? I said, I've already voted. My ballot has been cast. Oh, who did you vote for? I said, Jesus Christ. They call you up on the telephone. Can I get your opinion about who you're going to vote for? Similar, I tell them, I've cast my vote. I'm voting for Jesus Christ. And I think this is what we should be all about, is telling the people that they are going to be blessed. There's going to be a righteous king, one that's going to lead the peoples in truth and justice. The justice will come from God and not from man. All of this will be accomplished for the bride class. They shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. 1 Corinthians 15:42-44. And Revelation 26. All humanity would be ready for the establishment of the Messiah's kingdom, which will be established in the earth as it is in heaven. It will be the desire of all men, all nations, Haggai 2:7. Those formerly tares also, that was so terrible, as well as the remainder of the groaning creation, will welcome it and the promises, blessing in that kingdom. The righteous and the glorified wheat also shall shine forth as the sun for the blessing of all the families of the earth. Matthew 13:43. The mustard seed is another one that Jesus taught. I decided to only use the 7 parables that pertaining to the kingdom in Matthew. A mustard seed is a very small seed. I like to sow seeds myself in my garden. But the mustard seed is very small. But when it comes up, it can become a large bush. It is this parable, the kingdom is likened to a small grain, a mustard seed. It's very small, yet produces a large bush, big enough for the fowls of the air to lodge in its branches. This illustrates how the normal kingdom would be small from the beginning, grow to a considerable size. The kingdom message of Christ was received at first by a few poor listeners. But the nominal kingdom grew during the gospel age to such immense proportion that the fowls gathered in its branches. The fowls represent the wicked one and his servants. Matthew 13:4-19. Matthew 13:4-19. The parable of the mustard seed appears to represent the kingdom from its worldview. point as the millennial kingdom, millennial church, developed from the original little seed. The small little seed was original little seed, and this nominal system was developed from that, although we know corruption entered in during the Dark Ages after the apostles fell asleep. This system today, which we call Christendom, is considered as Babylon, confusion. There's so much confusion. We compare this to the Lord's words, Babylon has become the hole of every foul spirit and as a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, Revelation 18:2. This intimates a large outward development of church, which was not to her advantage and glory, but the opposite. The Lord's word has been misrepresented, and improperly system has been produced. The head of the church will delete all confusion and bring order and peace to all nations. This is such a great promise that you may say, someone asks, says, what is going to happen to the Buddhism and Confucianism? And it's on and on. It's many, many millions of people out there, a billion perhaps, that do not subscribe to the words and teaching of God. However, we here in America, North America, and throughout Europe, where the Western world exists, do subscribe to the teaching of the Bible. Even our government, our laws is based upon these laws. That doesn't make it right. That doesn't make them part of the little flock. No, at all. But as we can see and experience, brethren, we see strange things happening. Man is moving forward, not backwards. He moved backwards. Every time he moved one step, he moved 10 backwards from the results of his forward movement. For instance, pollution. You know, at one time, I remember, not too many years ago, there wasn't too many automobiles on the road. Now we are choked with automobiles. So progress goes forth, but chaos follows. So we want to look at these things that's going on around us, not to be caught in the dark, because they are happening. And if we are going to be kings and priests in the kingdom, associated with our Lord, blessing all the families of the earth, we should surely look at the human family today and what's happened to them. The next one is 11. It was common practice to retain a lump of leaven, or a method of a form of dough that we already had made from a form of baking and use it to leaven new dough. I'm not a bread maker, but I kind of understand this parable. On the Mosaic law, however, leaven was prohibited in bread used in the feast of unleavened bread and the Passover, Exodus 12:8-15-20. Leaven as a fermenting process is uniformly regarded in Scripture as typifying the presence of impurities or evil. Exodus 12:15-19. 1 Corinthians 5:6-9. The parable of leaven illustrates the process by which the nominal church would get into the wrong condition of heart and mind. We understand the three measures of meal to represent the true faith, hope, and love, which were to remain with the church after the gift of the Holy Spirit to establish the early church and all of the workings, healing, miracles that was required to establish the church. 1 Corinthians 12:28-31 and 13:1-2. A woman would take her batch of flour for baking and put leavened yeast into it. The entire mass become leavened. So with the nominal church of Christ, the spiritual food for the entire household would become leaven, as corruption by mixing the leaven of error with the true faith, hope, and love. Every portion would gradually become more or less infested with the leaven of false doctrine, permeating the whole mass. The results we see in the nominal denomination today, almost every doctrine represented by Jesus and his apostle has become more or less twisted and perverted by the error of the dark ages. We must take note of this parable so as we will not be infested by error. We must therefore purge out all leaven from our hearts and minds. The next one is the hidden treasure, Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is the treasure hidden in a field of great price, which we learn about this. When we learn about this great prize, and the only way to obtain it is to sell all we have, Mark 10:21. The Lord's assessment, and it's awesome, to those he regards as his treasure, hidden in a field. He gave all that he had to buy this field, including its precious contents. We do not know the value that he set upon us when given that price, with which we have been bought. We are bought with a price. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. Psalm 45:11-13. Again, this parable illustrates the process by which this kingdom is obtainable for those who have been called and chosen. 1 Corinthians 1:2. And we come to the pearl of great price. Matthew 13:45-46. The kingdom of heaven is like a pearl. It's like a merchant was seeking fine pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Matthew 13:45-46. The parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price both picture to us the great value of the kingdom of heaven, which will be established in the earth for the blessing of the nation. The merchant of this parable come across the finest pearl he has ever seen. Matter of fact, he considered it so precious that he rejoiced to sell all that he has, including the pearl that was in his possession, and went and purchased this pearl. The gospel offers us a share with Jesus in his kingdom. It is superior to all other possession or position or name or wealth. I remember when I first came across this pearl. I too went and sold everything that I had. And that was not easy. I don't think it's easy for anyone. You remember the young rich man. Brother, you know, we must ask ourselves, have we sold everything? Are we keeping back something like Ananias and Sapphira? You know, are we holding something back? But I can remember, once I found this field, I thought within myself, I thought I was rich in the world. I had a good job, lovely family, and a few dollars in the bank. I thought maybe I didn't need anything else. But I remember telling my wife, I think I found it. I think I quit my job. She said, wait a minute. Stop right there. She had been teaching me the truth. She said, stop right there. There's nowhere to say that you're supposed to stop and quit your job. Well, I said, I don't see anything worthy that I can consider from not purchasing this pearl. And I was willing to give up everything. And this is what the Lord is wanting each and one of us to find this pearl and go and sell with joy, not with regret, all that you have. And then you will have something in your possession that will take you to be a part of his kingdom. I'm running out of time, but I move on to the parable of the dragnet, Matthew 13:47-50. Another parable of the kingdom represents the gospel message as a dragnet. Only one kind of fish is desired, Matthew 4:9. However, the net gathers every kind of mankind, Christian, religious, hypocrites, and the list can go on. But the suitable fish which the Lord is seeking, who alone will constitute the kingdom class, are those who hear his message with joy and count the cost and appreciate the requirements to be bond servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 49 and 50, the furnace of fire symbolized the great time of trouble with which this age ends, in which the kingdom of this world give place to the kingdom of Christ. It is the establishment of this kingdom in the earth for which the church has been praying. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as it is in the earth. And just summary, brethren, the parables are one way to show the glory of our Master. Kingdom from a natural standpoint. And all of these kingdoms was from a natural standpoint. None of them was considered spiritual. However, we do know that the apostles came to Jesus and says, tell us about the kingdom. What does it mean? And Jesus took them aside and spoke to them in plain language. And then later he asked them, do you understand? And they say, yes, we do understand. But we know another story behind that, that the Holy Spirit had not been shed yet upon the apostles or anyone as far as that goes, other than Jesus himself. But after Pentecost, they did understand. They understood what those parables meant and more besides. And we, brethren, have been gifted with the power and influence of the Holy Spirit that we too can understand and appreciate these wonderful parables that was given by our Lord to those that were spoken by the prophet, that they would have ears to hear but not hear, eyes to see but not see. But blessed are your eyes that they see and your ears that they hear. May the Lord add his blessing.